Yeah, the Board of Education Finance Committee of the whole meeting will now come to order. Mrs. Nelson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allen?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood? Mr. Allison?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Howard? Mr. Solak?
Here.
Mr. Vonnegut?
Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to our discussion item, review of the 2011-2012 tentative budget.
Okay, well, welcome this evening. This is our initial presentation of the budget that will commence July 2011 and end at June 30, 2012. This is a process that we go through annually. We have some experienced board members now here with at least 2 and sometimes 4 years of experience. So I'll be happy to entertain any questions this evening. And as always, a call or an email if you have any questions after this evening's meeting. I'll be happy to address as quickly as possible.
Do you want us to, as I put in for a question, do you want us to hold until the end for questions?
It doesn't end.
Well, I think to do the preliminary presentation would be probably beneficial to hold questions. And that will be a relatively short presentation. And then we can come back to discussion. I think when we get to the functional analysis, that's something that will be much more interactive.
Okay. As you know, budgeting is a process that we in the finance office and the district as a whole go through actually throughout the year. We consider this as those to consider the capstone event of a process that goes on throughout the year. Budgeting involves really everyone here at the district, but principally all department heads, principals, and the consultants that we use for a variety of different services that are provided to the district. Just to give you a little idea of the calendar events that occur annually, typically the second meeting of April is when I bring a preliminary budget, when we bring a preliminary budget to the board as a whole so that they get a very good idea and a handle on in terms of where our revenues and expenditures are going to lie as we approach the next fiscal year. Then in the second meeting, the second board meeting in June, we will again bring you this, we'll bring you, instead of a preliminary, we'll bring you a tentative levy. We'll ask your permission at that time to post the document.
Tentative budget.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
A tentative budget. And we'll request your permission to post the budget, which is required for us to post for a minimum of 30 days. And then typically we bring you the budget again for approval at the second board meeting in August. So that's just a very brief breakdown in terms of the expectations of what we'll over the next several months. So, what we've developed over the past couple of years has been an analysis of where we were at last year for our revenues and expenditures and where we expect to be in the 11-12 fiscal year. We had an adopted budget last year of $45.5 million. We expect to garner approximately $1.396 million additional dollars as a result of the levy. In case you don't know, the levy for this fiscal year with the levy from 2009, which was set at 2.7%, was set in December of 2009 at 2.7%. So, as I've indicated, the levy will increase by $1,396,000. Other additions or subtractions, baseline figure of $45 million, is a decrease in interest of about $27,500. And that's as a result of continuing market conditions, and that is that we're only getting one-tenth 0.2-0.25% on our investments, where just a couple of short years ago we might be getting 2.5-3-4% on those investments. So really we've taken quite a hit against our revenue line with regards to that that particular revenue area. Other local revenues, this, I don't want to mislead you, this is not an actual revenue area that the district will have an addition to. Rather, it's the way that we're required to account for our operating leases. This is a, we need to transfer funds from our debt service fund into the education fund. The other way around, we need to take the funds out of there, out of the ed fund, and put them into the debt service fund to account for those. That's the way we're required to handle that particular transaction according to IPAM, Illinois Program Accounting Manual. Then I wanted to point out what's happening with state revenue. I think that's an area of concern that we've expressed concern over with it over the past couple of years. I think it's an area of continued concern. On general state aid, I indicate here that it's $308,000 greater than last year. That's true, $308,000 because the budget was originally projected back in 2010, fiscal year. Where we're going to end up is actually to receive approximately the same amount of revenue, given what we know now. And it, as you guys, as we've indicated to the board and the general public, and you can see that the state, I don't think they really know where they're going with regards to funding a specific program for education, social services, and so on. Some of the other line items that we're going to be receiving substantially less revenue than we were last year would be special education, about $332,000, bilingual, transportation, pre-K, reading improvement. They're actually going to eliminate reading improvement grants for next year, so that's a reduction of in excess of $100,000. All told, we expect to receive almost $400,000 less this next fiscal year than what we're currently receiving. Then we move down to the federal line area. Federal line area. We received some additional revenue as a result of our recommendation to join with District 15 in the National School Lunch Program. So that will provide for some additional funding. And then this $573,000, that was a result of the money coming through for ERA as a result of the funding available for the construction of the addition at Hadley. Okay? Next area we'll go to then. Will be the expenditure line items. Last year's adopted budget had expenditures of $44.3 million. This year, we expect salaries to go up about $860,000. That's an increase given our current negotiated agreements with ESME as well as GEAP. Those are just approximated numbers. We've also increased our insurance benefits by about 4% overall. As you know, we joined EBC, the Educational Benefit Cooperative, last year. If you lack the history with the district, you know that we had received double-digit increases over the past few years as a result of claims data. So joining this cooperative did provide for some price stability for us. We've also increased dental insurance, and all other benefits are driven really just a function of salary increases. There is a board report in your packet this evening that will discuss joining the dental, having our dental program join with EBC. So there will be some slight reductions when we take this from the presentation this evening back to you when you have an opportunity to review it again in June. Overall, we have purchased services that are going to decrease about $133,000. Increases the supplies and materials about $104,000. And then we want to talk about capital projects, capital equipment projects. Again, this is the closeout of the Hadley addition of $988,000. So we take that off the book. And then we have an increase of expenditures of about $500,000, which I'll be able to explain a little more in-depthly once I get into the sort of the information behind this presentation. for a net reduction of revenue of about $460,000. And then we have our other dues and fees, which are our bond payments, our tuition payments for special education and so forth. We've increased those by about 4% over last year. And this is an overall increase of about $1.1 million to expenditures, resulting in approximately a $638,000 surplus for the year. Now, frequently we hear about expenditures and what do we do to control them. I just want to give you an idea of the different things that occur throughout the year when we're preparing our budget, beginning to, as we're beginning to prepare for presentation of the budget. Human resources typically comes up with a position control and analysis and staffing to targets as tight as we can, so it's to provide just to staff to the most appropriate levels. We analyze and prioritize our capital projects and go out to bid annually to receive the best pricing available for contractors. We go out annually for copy paper bids. This year, for the first time in 3 years, which is sort of the cycle that we follow, for copiers, we're going out presently, and there's a recommendation for you this evening. We also went out for the first time in several years with regards to bidding of transportation. As you know, we formed a cooperative with our Glenbard districts. There's four of us that joined together, and we feel as though we've come up with a very viable plan and certainly significant cost savings for us to experience over the life of this over this bidding process. Mike annually brings a number of recommendations to the school board with regards to capital acquisitions, with regards to technology-related projects. And he always brings more than just one proposal. He'll bring two or three proposals from vendors to bring the most appropriate pricing to us. We go out and we belong to a couple of different utility consortiums, both for gas and electric. Well, we did belong to the gas, and we've now gone out on our own. And so we bid utilities on a regular basis. Again, I mentioned earlier that we belong to the Educational Benefit Cooperative to gain us some pricing stability with regards to insurance premium renewals. And then, I don't know if a majority of the board knows it or not, but we also belong to CLIC, which is the Cooperative Liability Insurance Corporation, which is a group of about 130 or 140 school districts, mostly in the northern portion of the state. They're joined together to, as a group, bid for property and casualty liability insurance, student accident insurance, school board liability, basically the full run of insurance that school districts are required to carry. So, we'll move out of the adjustments that take you from last year's revenue and expenditures to this year's, and we will bring up the preliminary budget. And this is a projected fund balance. It takes our fund, and these are all estimates. These are all estimates based upon a cash basis of accounting. They were not aligned with what we typically receive from our auditors at the end of a fiscal year because they put us on a full accrual basis. So this is a cash basis only. We have projected cash balances as of June 30th of this year, what our revenues and expenditures will be for a year. Deficit or surpluses are any cash balances, and then we always back out the estimated receipt of taxes, which will be for next year, to come up with an undesignated fund balance by fund. I wanted to caution you that columns B through the end of this document here show all these significant entries into what our fund balances will be by fund and in total. Okay. Then what we do is we've created a document here that shows our fund balances. Excuse me, it shows our total revenues and expenditures by fund, the final budget that was approved by the board last fiscal year, the preliminary budget that we're presenting to you this evening. Then we have a dollar calculation that shows us the amount of increase or decrease to each one of the fund expenditures, and then the percent of change from what we've calculated between last year and this fiscal year, and that's expressed as a percentage. So just real briefly, we expect revenue in the education fund to go up just over $1 million. O&M to go down by about $700,000. Transportation revenue is due to go down rather significantly, given that most of the revenue by that fund is generated through property taxes. We have the bond and interest fund, Social Security retirement funds, capital projects, working cash total. We're expecting a preliminary budget of $46,175,000. Then I'll run quickly through the expenditure items. Education fund, $37 million. Operations and maintenance, $3.1 million. Transportation, $970,000. Bonds and interest, $2.9 million. The retirement funds, about $1.1 million. Capital projects, working cash, and tort and employer prevention and safety, for total expenditures of approximately $45.5 million. Just a couple of highlights from this these expenditure items. First of all, transportation. This is the amount that the bid documents came back at. We're reduced our transportation costs by around in excess of $200,000 annually. That's a result of the pricing that we just received from from Illinois Central School Bus, as well as a 2% reduction that we were notified in transportation costs from Case, who contracts with SEPTRAN. Okay? Another highlighted item here is that you'll notice that bond and interest has gone up last year versus this year, and that is a result of we have finished paying off. We had three bond issues outstanding. We have finished paying off one of the bond issues. You would think, well, that would result in a reduction of bond cost. However, when these bonds were refinanced a number of years ago, they were, once the first bond issue was paid off, the others were ratcheted up over the remaining years of these the two outstanding issues. And this is, if all the bonds are due to be retired in about 2017 or 18, this expense was about $2.7 million last year. It's about $2.9 million this year, and it goes to just over $3 million annually in the years 2017 and 18, when it will ultimately be paid off. I wanted to just highlight a couple of other things here for you. Capital projects. As you know, that 998 is a result of the Hadley project that was financed through ERA funding. And operation and maintenance has taken, we have projected our expenditures, our capital expenditures, for recommendations that we've brought to you previously for this summer's projects, which will include the Hadley recommendation for this evening. They are not accounted for in the capital projects fund, but rather in the O&M fund. So you'll see overall there's about a $350,000 decrease in capital expenditures anticipated for next year. This is the individual light items for revenue that you saw on the summary of the cash balances, the cash balance summary that we shown just a moment ago. Again, this runs across all funds. And this we work with typically in my office, the different revenue accounts that we have available to us. Obviously, the largest portion here is property taxes. And then we go right down the line for other local revenues, state revenues, and then our federal revenues. And if we come over here, total revenue of $46,175. This next is a chart that shows where the district actually receives its funds from. And we're about 88% property tax funded. Overall, about 93% of our revenue comes from local sources. It's a combination of property taxes and then student fees and the other associated revenue through the district. We receive about 6% of state funding. Again, it's a very uncertain factor because we don't know right now where revenues are going to fall with the state. And really, we just receive a very small percentage of revenue from the federal government of 1%. Expenditure line items. This is set up By object code, salaries, benefit, purchase services, supplies, equipment, and then our other line for expenditures. Every program in the district has its own line item, and then it's split whether it's a salary or a benefit, or we call them object codes, whatever particular object that expenditure may fall in. They're broken down between direct instruction, support services, which is any one of them, just to give an example, social workers, psychs, health services, and then we have support services down a little below. And this runs all the way through our education fund, where you can see it broken down by object code as well as totals for the particular fund. We have our education, our operation and maintenance, bonds and interest, and so forth, all the way through the various function codes that we have. Here is the expenditure chart. Again, about 60% of our expenditures go to salaries, about 13% for benefits. So that's about 73% of our expenditures go directly to salaries and benefits. Obviously, it's the largest two items that we have. As a matter of fact, it's the largest, as they stand alone, the largest expenditures that we have. We also have your purchase services, your supplies and materials, capital projects, and any other other line items that we have. I wanted to talk briefly . This is another comparison that we do, which has major groups of revenue items as well as expenditure items for last fiscal year as well as this fiscal year, and the differences between each fiscal year as well as percent from the final of last year to the preliminary of this year. As you'll notice, we expect revenues to grow about 1.35%, expenditures to grow about 2.67%. I spoke earlier this evening, just a few minutes ago, really regarding the work that goes on throughout the fiscal year with regards to controlling our expenditures. We go out to bid for almost anything that we feel as though we can receive competitive pricing on. We staff the targets. We use a position control analysis process or utilizes whenever we're going out to fill a position. I just wanted to give you a couple of numbers out there, and I'll go with the fiscal years 2009, 10, and 11, and then this fiscal year, which is indicated in this column here. Revenues in fiscal year 2009 grew 4.41%, in 2010, 4.6%. Last year, the fiscal year that we're currently in, they decreased by 1.29%, and then we expect them to go up by 1.35%. The point that I wanted to make here really was how we try to manage, or how we have been managing, our expenditure line. In the fiscal year 2009, expenditures were budgeted to increase by 5.47%. In fiscal year 2010, they were budgeted to increase 3.16%. Last fiscal year, the one that we're currently in, as you know, we were hit with a historically low CPI, which really restricted our ability to grow revenues, as our major source of revenue is property taxes. And we at one point, we actually put together a program where expenditures were expected to decrease 1.63%. So although we were not able to maintain that lack of expenditure growth, we're still 2.67%, which is the lowest out of the past four fiscal years. So I wanted to make mention of that. We also wanted to talk about the function control report that's been put together. And what this does is, Phyllis spent a lot of time a number of years ago putting together an analysis of all the different codes that we have, or all the different sort of areas that we have committed to major expense. This here is a staffing plan for the district. Last year, we had about 254 certified staff. This year, we're projected about 250 certified staff. If we scroll down a little bit further, there's some small growth in various aid categories, administrators and so forth. They're the same as you can see. Administrator, office staff, tech staff, custodial staff also remain the same. Overall, we're looking to decrease total staff by about just over two FTEs, full-time equivalents. This is our enrollment. Our enrollment last year for our fall housing report was 3,677. And based upon the numbers that were available for us when this report was prepared, fall housing came in at 3,643 students. And then we've broken, if you wanted to see the number of personnel that we've assigned, they're broken up into the CSO, the administrative offices here, and then the schools, Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, Churchill, Forest Glen, and Hadley. And there's some calculations down at the bottom here that show pupil to certified staff, pupil to administrator, and pupil to total staff. And then what we've done is, yeah, please. There is a whole set of worksheets that are included in your report, in your packet here this evening. It shows all the major programs that we're able to identify and the cost associated with those programs. I'll just walk through this first one here, which are the building budgets. These are the budgets that are put together by the principal and their staffs in each individual building. And this is, they budgeted $349,000. They asked us to budget $349,000 for them for the next fiscal year. And we just took it a little bit further and just visual arts, what are their anticipated budgets. We have numbers in here for salaries and benefits, services, purchase services, supplies, and then their equipment requests. And we've made a calculation for the net program cost, the staffing associated with those programs, and what the cost per student is. We have physical education, general music, band and orchestra, and then so on, so forth, and so on down the line with gifting.
On the band and orchestra, yeah. I know they're projecting, you know, many more students, like 20, 30 more, and you said we were going to add some staff there, or at least some FTE to handle.
Well, when we have solid numbers,
okay.
Then we staff to the numbers that are required. But, Lori, if you want to talk a little more specifically to it.
I've had a meeting with both the elementary and the band teachers about that. Their recruitment efforts are underway right now, once the letter's sent in May. But I've met with all of them, and I'll touch base back with them. After that, we do have a sense of what we're going to need for Hadley fans, but then that has kind of a domino effect in terms of them.
And again, these are preliminary numbers.
Right.
I'm sure they'll be, you know, we have two more months before we're going to come back to you with a recommendation to allow us to post the budget. So there'll be a lot more work going on and a lot more fine tuning between now and the second board meeting in June.
But we're getting new registrations right now also, so that our actual numbers at the schools can be changing a little bit upward. But this is the monitoring time.
You showed almost two FTE psychologists we're going to add. There's an increased need there, or what's the...
No, we have a psychologist who is retiring. And we have a psychologist that we have added in place of two other part-time positions that we've pieced together to a full-time psychologist. Anything else?
The psychologist who's retiring was a case employee previously, so now it looks different than ours.
Oh, okay.
So that's really the end of my presentation. Seen the staffing plan, and then I don't want to take up any time. You may have questions with regards to some of the other worksheets that have been presented here, but I'd be happy to take any questions.
I have a just a general one, and then maybe it'll strand down into other ones. And that is, you know, when you look at this, you know, when I just did a preliminary read through the weekend, what do you think are the hot spots that could impact programs and services? If there are any that you're keeping a particular eye on, is it special education? Is it?
I would say anything that's related to state funding is what we're very concerned yeah. about right now.
The interesting thing too is that the pre-K grant, the early childhood pre-K grant, has become a competitive grant, and Julie and Karen and Stacy worked, I think I mentioned to you in my letter last week, an unbelievable amount of hours to complete this grant, which was highly complex. And so if I were to say, do I see the impact in future years, I would say we'll probably see a little more of that. The few dollars that may become available may become much more competitive as opposed to categorical mm-hmm. and entitlement.
So they shift the rules around the grant. So where you could apply and receive those dollars under another set of rules, mm-hmm. now it's a competitive grant with mm-hmm. other school districts with the
Correct.
Same kind of requests,
Correct.
Et cetera.
Okay.
And I've already reduced most of all of my state figures except for the general state aid by between 20% and 30%. That's about that pre-K program is about $215,000 to the district. Now, I also wanted to just remind the board that 2 years ago when we were doing this presentation, we had about $3.6 million in anticipated revenue, and now we're at about $2.4 million, or overall, a 35% reduction over the past 2 years.
And that was the decision that we had talked about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. in terms of some districts are doing 10%, some are doing 50%, you know, what's the kind of the guidepost?
And what I'm hearing from my business associates is that they're taking it down anywhere from 25 to 50%. And again, there's also the matter of how we recognize revenues and expenditures. Mm-hmm. We recognize them on a cash basis. So when you look at your monthly treasurer's report, you look and you see, well, you know what, revenues really don't look that out of alignment. But don't forget that it's just this fiscal year that we received two, if not three, payments from last fiscal year,
right.
between July 1st and really just this past February is when we finally received most, if not all, the funding. Now, what we're hearing is we're going to get those three remaining payments for this fiscal year, but we're not going to get them until 2012. So we're talking about maybe only receiving somewhere between 25% and 50% of expenditures, exclusive of general state aid.
So we're still getting them, just much, much delayed.
Mm-hmm. We are getting them much delayed, and, you know, a year from now, who knows what type of shape the state's going to be in. They have not given us any indication that they're going to be funding at any different level than they have previously. It's just that we're going to be six or nine months late. Now, what the auditors allowed us to do, since the state has made that that promise, like last fiscal year, typically we're only allowed to recognize revenue within 60 days after the end of the fiscal year. So typically, our fiscal year ends June 30th. Any revenue that's received between July 1st and the end of August, we're allowed to recognize in the previous fiscal year. Well, we didn't receive a lot of that revenue until September, December, and in some cases as late as February. So the auditors came in and they accrued all that back last fiscal year as of June 30th, 2010. They're going to do the same thing, we believe, for June 30th, 2011, because the state is committed to paying us those dollars. But beyond this next fiscal year, the 2012 fiscal year, we really don't know what's going to happen. There have been made, no commitments have been made.
Is this the first budget that we projected in this deficit in state funding?
Last year we did two.
That's why we made the reductions that we did last fiscal year, over $3 million in expenditure reductions, as a result of historically low CPI, as well as the uncertainty with regards to state funding.
The with regards to the projected surplus, I'm trying to understand how does what does that help us bid, or where is that aligning to the fund balance percentage? What is that?
The 638,000.
Well, I guess whatever, no matter what it is.
Well, it's about $600,000 as we know it now, and that's without any adjustments to the prepaid program. But what we were considering doing is when we bring this back to the board for approval to post in June, is that we might put together a line item that quite possibly would be dedicated to future capital projects. We have a number of capital projects that will be coming up in 2012, 2013, and beyond, where it would be helpful to us now to set aside some dollars. We would designate them for a particular project. The state will allow us to do that. We might set up $500,000 and identify it for roof replacement in the year 2013 or something, because those types of projects will be coming down the road in the next year to 2 years. We've just brought you a number of recommendations for this coming summer. We're already looking at next summer, 2013, which will be the next fiscal year.
I guess I'm not. I guess I didn't hear the answer.
Right.
What is the
total percentage?
Yeah. What does this leave us at the end of the year? What is our fund balance percentage?
We haven't calculated that.
There's a sheet here that says fund balance on a cash basis is about $9.4 million. So on a cash basis, it would leave us, this has the surplus for this fiscal year. So here is the 638 for the surplus added to the previous balances that we're estimating. We would have a fund balance of about $9.4 million at the end of the next fiscal year.
On cash.
On a cash basis.
On a cash basis.
Right, which is not
our accrual basis. That changes that fund balance. But it still doesn't answer your question, which we can calculate before we discuss this again so that you can see what the additional fund balance would do to that percentage. Yeah. Currently, we're at about 27%.
I know we still have to finish this, and I guess that will be the new board business to finish the fund balance percentage. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be helpful to have a line on here that says, if we say it's a target, we need at least this much to hit this percentage.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we will discuss is what Bob has suggested, and you've heard us mention this before, that we would be interested in perhaps identifying a pool of resource that we can reserve for future capital projects that will be larger than our budget could ever accommodate in a single year. And again, that's a part of a philosophical discussion about how to use your fund balance as well.
And the way we create and provide this information for the board, this comes right off the state budget document that we're required to file. So that's why we're sort of restricted in ways that we can present certain information.
But we could have a version for...
Oh, absolutely. I can drop a number in it and show you what that percentage would be.
And I think then the statement that you made, Dan, which is would be an additional piece of information in our budget presentation, would be if this fund balance is accrued, always that's an if, but if that fund balance is accrued, that would add toward our goal of X percentage, or it would exceed our goal of X percentage. Is that a fair interpretation?
Thank you.
Bob, can we go back towards the beginning? It might even be the first slide. I just wanted to run through some of my questions. It was the budget comparison FY 2011 versus 12 revenues.
So the first page is before we got into the actual budget.
Yeah. The personal replacement corporate property.
PRT.
Now, that's the we held that the same basically.
Right.
But it was way down last year. Mm-hmm. So are we not expecting a rebound, or we just didn't want to?
It was budgeted at $870,000, and that's really a function of how frequently we receive distributions for that, and we are on target to receive approximately the same thing this year. So I just held it at even.
But we have no information that would tell us it's going to be restored nor reduced any further.
I don't have any information one way or the other telling us what our expectations might be for the next fiscal year. So I've held it even with last year, and I believe it's $870,000.
Okay. And then on that same spreadsheet, in the state aid portion of that, do those line items break up? We always talk about categorical, non-categorical. Do those break out nicely into what's, you know, categorical?
Your general state aid is as it is.
And everything else?
Everything else is a categorical except for the other state. Those are all categorical areas.
Okay. And then on the next page on the expenditures, we had towards the bottom there the $399,970.
Right.
So is that an increase over last year's budget?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's almost $400,000 more than last year.
And is that only in special ed tuition payments?
No, it's also represented in the increase in bond payments as well as special ed payments. Those are the two biggest areas that make up that line item.
Okay.
Bond payments and special ed tuition.
Okay. And our capital projects minus the Hadley in the 2010-11 budget was what, $600,000?
For this current fiscal year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was around $650,000.
Okay.
I have a similar question on page 9 of the next half. The preliminary budget comparisons by category with the drop in the federal funding by $500,000. Mm-hmm.
That's the ARRA funding for the Hadley Edition.
Right. Same way for the capital drop.
Yes.
The expenditure for that.
And then, as Bob mentioned, he moved capital projects up into operations and maintenance.
Mm-hmm. And that's typically where we've carried them, but because of the funding requirements by ARRA, we were required to break it out separately.
The actual budget. Page 3. Total state bracket. Mm-hmm. You're saying that the 2.5 is a adjusted number, but normally, all things being equal, we'd get more like 3.7.
That's what we did 2 years ago.
Okay.
And
well, we're still entitled to it. We're just fractioning that number back.
I wouldn't say we're entitled to anything right now. I will tell you that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago was a completely different situation than what we currently have in the state, as we know it now. What I've taken is the budget from 2 years ago. We had about $3.7 million in overall state revenues, and now that has been taken down to about $2.5 million, or a reduction of about about 33%.
Right. Yeah. Are we doing, last year we did something with different incremental issues depending on how much state aid we get. Now, have you done this by that
What I've done is I've just overall taken about 30% of revenues, or 20, I think it's 25% of state revenues, exclusive of the general state aid. I backed those out of those categorical line items.
Okay.
Just made that assumption because that's the, we're not hearing a lot, but that's just sort of the noise or the talk that we're hearing. This budget, 25 to 50%. In those categorical areas, less than what you received the previous fiscal year.
And Drew, just as a added complexity, the Illinois State Board of Education submits its budget to the legislature for approval. And the legislature ultimately, when it finishes its work, determines how much they're actually going to give to the State Board of Education. And then the state board has, just like we would have, the right to go back in and change their particular budget. So even as we are making some predictions based on both what happened last year and the talk we hear, it could still dramatically change. We expect to get general state aid payments, But there's nothing that is written that would say, that the Illinois State Board of Education might say, no, we're only going to give general state aid payments to this percentage of districts. The rest of you aren't even going to get that, and you're not going to get any categorical. So they could decide to give all of the sort of high-tier schools, more at-risk schools, all the money, and give none to other school districts. So at this point, it's still a very much of a fluctuating game. So, I mean, the political pressure, obviously, to give all districts something, would, I think, would be pretty fierce. But.
And we're hearing that ISBE's not going to be coming back with their final recommendations until June.
June.
Here we are
right.
going to be bringing you a tentative budget in June, requesting that you allow
them to vote.
Well,
they won't get done with the budget. And the legislators won't get done with the budget until late May,
right?
Most likely. Mm-hmm. It, you know, that, we're hoping, is true. Could be, it could even go longer for them, which would delay the state then.
So, for instance, the block grant, right? that we're no longer receiving.
A reading improvement?
Reading improvement.
Correct.
You know, is an example of pull the plug on it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we decide how we manage those dollars, you know, to plug that in.
And compete.
It's about $100,000.
Right.
And competing for the pre-K money. And,
did we get that check?
And no, we
Where
just
we,
submitted
we
it.
We just submitted it
last
right.
week.
Thank you.
What was the competitive criteria? How, I mean, you take a test, right, that says you're in need of. What
Julie,
else
do
they
want to
ask?
A little bit about that?
Well, the criteria was provided to us in the packet about like this. There were several areas that they were looking for the particular things, your statement of need, and what they wanted, a description of your area and all of the risk factors and, you know, information from the census and all that kind of thing. It was requested a lot of information. It was all narrative about your program and how your use of best practices and your how you align the standards and demonstration that you then, you know, just march through all the aspects of the pre-K program, your professional development plans, all that kind of thing. They're looking for evidence that you meet their criteria. They provided us with a range of the criteria from exemplary to, you know, to basic. So we, you know, tried to show that we were an exemplary program
okay.
in every way.
Mm-hmm. 3 full days worth.
Did I miss anything?
We got half of the state aid budget.
It would take that $600,000 surplus and wipe it out.
So
if we got, you know, we're projecting state aid of $1.3 million, if we get half of that, $600,000, there goes your surplus. If they they were just talking about the competitive pre-K program, that's worth $215,000 to the district. That cuts our surplus by a third. Any one of those light items is going to dramatically affect what we anticipate for a surplus for this coming fiscal year.
And I have one other quick question.
Sure.
Page 2, the education line.
Expenditures.
The delta is roughly a million and five.
Correct.
What is that salaries and benefits? Probably?
That's everything in the education fund. That's a total, as I explained, revenue and expenditures, they're all broken up by various programs, which is education, operation, maintenance, transportation, and so forth. That's a total for the education fund.
That would include purchase services, it would include
supplies, material, capital expenditures, yeah. Salaries, benefits, everything.
Okay. Can you go to the staffing summary?
Sure.
Yep. At the very top, I see the reduction of 4 for the grade K through 5. Is that just due to staffing targets, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Was predominantly based in our kindergarten enrollments as we're projecting them.
Okay. And then the lunch people, I know you talked about that expenses covered, but it sounds like, wouldn't that be like 1.5 FTE? Where does that fall at?
You know, that has not been taken into account in this staffing summary. Now, the aides that supervise the lunch program, yes, they would be included there, but not the FTEs that we're going to bring forth.
But this is 11-12.
Right. So we won't be increasing at the elementary level for 11-12.
12-13.
Oh, well, I guess I thought at Hadley, how many?
They're not our employees, are they?
Well, but the expenditure is the same. We still have to have people that we have that are there full time, whether it's Aramark's employee or.
Well, I guess at Hadley right now, today, are they Aramark or are they D41 employees?
They're Aramark.
And so next year they'll be D15 employees.
No, they'll be
out. Well, one will be a D15 employee.
But it's kind of like the dollars are purchased.
Oh, three will be a D. So will we be adding any additional?
We'll be with the Hadley moving to the District 15 contract. We will be adding 3 part-time staff to serve at the Hadley cafeteria. The other staff working in the kitchen will be D15 employees.
And so we need to change.
Yes.
So we need to change that in this staffing.
It's in the summary. The staffing is in the.
But not part of this summary.
No, we did not include it in here because they're not in our position to vote yet.
Right.
Right. Well, we haven't adopted it yet.
But you already have, you have some dollars. So.
Mm-hmm. The dollars would be in purchase services
there,
or something.
And we've built that in. We just haven't included it in
the actual EG.
The summary. But the budget dollars are all there.
The other thing.
We're talking about it's like 2 hours a day per person, 3 hours a day. Is it less than?
It's 2 3-hour a day people plus 1 4-hour a day person.
So it's just over one full FTE.
Right.
But the dollars have been included in the budget presentation. It's just a good staffing addition, is not.
Is that person the one that goes on the IMRF?
The 4-hour a day person would be IMRF because 600 hours or more in a school year is an IMRF qualified student.
And is that baked into the cost?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It was baked into the total compensation cost. If there are any benefits attached to those positions, including the board paid Medicare tax, the board paid Social Security tax, it's all built into those two numbers that are part of that report.
Okay.
The other thing with the elementary, one of the things that Lori is working on this year is developing new job descriptions for our elementary lunch supervisors, and so we really have a full year to plan for the reorganization of lunch at the elementary, and so we'll be able to do somewhat, you know, that position analysis in terms of what kind of lunch help we need and how that will be utilized, which will help us determine more specifically what the cost will be.
I was a little confused with the general music and the band orchestra. I see it's 4 plus 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the specific tab, you see general music has 5 and orchestra has 3.1.
Because there's one FTE as part of the exploratory down here at Hadley. The general music teacher, vocal music teacher at Hadley is part of the Hadley exploratory. You see Hadley up here is blank right here. There's no. But yes, one of the FTEs at Hadley is the vocal music.
In our core extension program. So.
Okay. And so then I saw those. So. But that's getting reduced by 2. Is that other exploratory courses or something?
Your exploratories are going down 2 FTEs?
No.
That I can't answer.
I'll be happy to give an update on that.
Well, right, yeah.
Does anyone else have questions? We got 4 minutes worth of questions.
I really appreciate the breakdown into the program function worksheets. It's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got one last question. On the E&L bilingual education tab?
On the program
Right, and I couldn't figure out why the expenditures were more, but we're dropping staff by 2.5.
What page is that?
Page 12.
Say again?
Dropping, losing staff.
Well, the expenditure rises. I guess it's only like 30,000, but we're dropping staff by 3.5. So like you see it go from 21 to 17.5. But if the expenditures at the top, you see a $30,000 increase.
We'll have to look at
it. Yeah. I don't, we do not, we're not making any reductions in our ELL staff, so I'm not sure where that.
Yeah, a carryover number from the previous year.
It would have to be a way previous year.
Right.
Again, we'll review all these numbers, and if you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them anytime between now and when we come back in June. We'll have it confirmed up for you at that time. But I will be back to you when I'm responding to that.
So when the next time you come back is for what, for approval to go to the 30-day?
To post for 30 days. And typically we post it for something greater than 30, usually around 60 days.
I think
when do we have to have it approved by?
August. September, actually.
September
30th. August.
I'm just wondering if that, I guess I would like to see, you know, like a follow-up presentation, mm-hmm. or at least a discussion, because not everyone was able to make it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if we have... If we hold it then, and then if we decide to wait the 30 days, that's okay, or do we need to hold it before then to make sure that works?
We can have another conversation, and I think it would be prudent to have another conversation about the budget prior to the 20th. Now, whether we can have it during the regular board meeting or whether it would be during a finance workshop, I would encourage board members to individually send us their questions, and then it makes probably more sense to have it as a finance committee workshop in conversation, so that you're answering questions all along until that June date. But when we come to the June date, hopefully questions have been answered. It's still preliminary, though, Jan. Things can change between that June 20th date and August, whatever our board meeting is, in August when we take action on. So it remains preliminary and subject to change.
Well, in part because of what you mentioned earlier about the state budget, so we're not going to get, IFB's not going to come back to us until then, too. And like you said, we could wipe out part of our surplus or anything that happens. So
or make other changes in our, you know, expenditure line.